Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day. Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle with Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you, as always, for listening to our content. But for more in-depth coverage on the Indiana Hoosiers football, basketball, and recruiting news, go to thehoosier.com on three. Now with On Three and great national writers like Ari Wasserman, Andy Staples, and Steve Wiltfong for football, Pete Nakos, J.B. Shaw, and Joe Tipton's constantly breaking stories on the basketball side. And the local coverage from Alec Lasley, Kyler Staley, and Zach Browning. You can catch something new every day at thehoosier.com. Go there. Sign up today.
Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio, brought to you by the Hard Truth Distilling Company in Brown County, Indiana.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
Pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop. Oh.
Now, from the Hard Truth Studios, here's Jim Coyle.
Hello, sports fans. Welcome into another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Glad to have you along, as always, and greatly appreciative as well. And no matter where or how you're following, whether it's on one of our great affiliates like 97.7 ESPN, The Ref, always the right call in Evansville, or up in the region on the Voice of the Region, 1230 AM, 104.7 FM, WJOB, and in Fort Wayne, on Fort Wayne's only sports station, on Fort Wayne's sports station, I should say, 1380 The Fan. Keep it locked right here the rest of the day, all day, every day. No reason to go anywhere else for traveling about. And if you miss any of the action, you could always catch us on YouTube. Make sure you, if you're there, following there, you hit that subscribe, notifications toggle. Same with podcasts and all that business. Twitter, give me a follow on Twitter at Jim Coyle ISB. You know the drill. You know the drill. Plenty to talk about today. Another loaded show. Jamie Shaw will join us from On Three. And that one of the national basketball analysts. We'll talk about a little bit more action that's been happening in the Indiana basketball camp. Shannon Griffith will join us. We'll talk some Hoosier football as the Indiana spring game happens tonight at Memorial Stadium. Bob Kravitz will stop by as well. Chris Denary, as the Pacers prepare for the playoffs. Playoffs? That's right. The Indiana and Kentucky basketball series, the first game, originally scheduled for December 20th, has been moved up to December 13th. So just a little programming note there for your December plans. Keep that in mind. Don't forget Isaiah Thomas, former Indiana legend, leading Indiana to a national championship back way back in 1981, joining Joe Dubars in New Orleans. Trying to rekindle the magic down there and see if they can. Front court has not been great for Isaiah Thomas. You know, coaching, he just hasn't. I don't know. His personality, if you've heard him talk, I don't know. I don't know if it lends itself to it, but. We'll see. They're going at it again. Not at it, but round it. They're running it back together, I guess you should say. and we'll see how that works. But you don't have a lot happening down there anyway, so that's when you just start throwing things against the wall. Joe Dumars, however, has been pretty good. He's in tune to what is going on. A lot of happenings on the college basketball front. Con Knepel leaving Duke to enter the draft. You got so many guys entering the draft. When Jamie Shaw comes on with us, we'll talk more about that, because that's a litany, a laundry list. As Indiana picks up two more commitments yesterday, over the last few days, Jasai Miles, Tayton Conterway. Indiana is going to be pretty good in the guard department. They're going to have all the shooting that they want. They've officially landed their fifth player in the portal with Jasai Miles. He committed to Darren DeVries and the Hoosiers. Came right on the heels of his visit to Bloomington. He joins Tucker DeVries, Connor Enright, Reed Bailey, and Lamar Wilkerson as players that Indiana has landed, in addition to, of course, Tayton Conterway. So Tayton becomes the sixth player to round that out. So now you've got, and then there were six. Keeps going. Now they'll probably move the focus to some bigger wings, maybe. Probably what I would expect next. We'll talk more about that with Jamie Shaw from On Three when he joins us as well. But it looks like Darren DeVries he's picking off what he wants. All right, we need this, this, and this. This is kind of the genesis of his offense. And it is the perimeter game. It's the genesis of his offense. So he has his kings, so to speak. Now he's got to start adding his rooks and this, that, and the other thing. Indiana Creek Walker says that, the lost team, but that Conterway is the real deal. I think all of these guys are going to, it's just going to be a lot more fun for Indiana fans to be able to watch. Yes, Larry, finally have some shooting. Woodson did not know the 3-point existed. No, I don't think he got the memo. I do not. Or he's not good in math. 2 - 3 = -1. Kind of sounds like his tenure at Indiana. But John says he heard Drew Adams as a consultant. Wouldn't surprise me. But the big difference, whatever his title is, he will actually have a job. He will actually have a function. He will actually have a role to contribute to the Indiana program. It's not a paycheck. So, yeah, his title is going to be irrelevant, I think. I don't think he's being brought on for coaching, period. I think that he's the eye. Whatever. And there's a plan, obviously, when you don't have, say, if this GM position, so to speak, is going to happen, which we think that it is, why not is it Drew Adams? Well, then that means there's obviously a plan to what they're doing. Darren DeVries has a blueprint of what he wants to get done and how he wants to get it done, the way he wants to achieve it. So it'll be interesting to see how they lay the titles out. But there's another big difference, gigantic difference, that will be coming for Indiana fans over last season. All those names that are on the payroll will actually be working, including the head coach. But those other names that will be on the payroll, no matter what their titles are, they will actually be working. They will have a functioning job to do. It will not be a ceremonial. It will not be a paycheck. And think about that. If the guys you have on payroll aren't doing it, really are not doing anything, that this is just a payroll, what the hell? First of all, I don't want to like to throw, I don't want to throw any negativity out there, but it just makes you beg to ask the question, why did Indiana allow that to go on? It wasn't happening without their knowledge. They knew exactly what was going on. That's sometimes you just have to ask those questions. They don't want to answer them, but the good thing is that is not going to be the case going forward. Those positions are going to be positions of value, positions that add to what they're trying to get done. Tonight, you got the spring game. Coach Shannon Griffith should be coming along here in just any time. Steven says that, so they say Braden Smith's going to be player of the world. Hey, man, he's a great player. He's a great college player. He is a great, great college player. You can't deny that. His numbers speak to that. I don't think that he'll be, I've said it over and over, I do not see him. It would kind of crack me up because some people made a big deal, but Braden Smith's going to run it back. Well, where the hell else was he going to go and make a dollar? Unless he went and got a job or went overseas, those would have been his only options. Why is that being made a big deal? I think he's a hell of a player. I just don't think he's NBA caliber, though. Hence, again, why if he's Purdue's best player, that's why they have no chance to win a national championship. He is not an NBA draft pick, much less an NBA first-round draft pick. Maybe he gets picked late in the second round. I don't know. But we'll see. Hey, we'll go ahead and take a pause for the cause. Try to get Coach Griff in. Before I do that, I do have some other things to mention tonight. Former Indiana offensive coordinator Mike DeBoard, I missed this from a couple of days ago, has passed away at the age of 69. Of course, he was on Tom Allen's staff when Tom Allen first was hired, was his OC for a few years, and then they moved on from that. And but definitely he had a long career in college football. So thoughts and prayers to him and his family. Trace Jackson Davis, the Warriors, they advance in the NBA playoffs. The Pacers, they play the Bucks on Saturday at 1 p.m., don't forget. How about this? The Indianapolis 500's Grand Marshal for the Coors Light Snake Pit, Rob Gronkowski. Gronk, that is a match made in heaven. I mean, that's a perfect combo nation. That would be funny. Or is going to be funny. The Indiana High School 1,000 Point Club came out. You know, they put that out all the time, and I got to keep track of that. And back when Trent Sisley scored his 2,000th point at the Chipotle Nationals, I made note of it and said, it won't count again with his Indiana total, but boom. Well, wrong was I. Whoever tracks that, which I'm confused because the IHSA seems to have such disdain for players that leave the state. But I did notice that they did count Trent Sisley's numbers from Montverde and credit him with being one of the state's 2,000-point scorers at 2004. So congratulations on that. A couple other things I noticed. My high school, Floyd Central, which I already knew this, in 1971, they had two 1,800-plus point scorers on the same team that lost in the Final Four to, oh, yeah, East Chicago, that had Pete Turgovich and Stoudemire, Junior Bridgman. Yeah, that's all. That's the kind of talent that was nuts. But also, you have a father and son and Rick and Rich Mount that combined for 4,734 points in 66 and 89. They were kind of close, 25-95 to 21-39. And then the Barnheiser brothers, they combined for 4,533 points, 23-66 and 21-67. So kind of cool. Just some tidbits on that. Spring game tonight at 8 o'clock. We'll talk more about that when Coach Griff joins us as well. We're going to take a quick pause for the cause. Appreciate you being with us as we're coming to you from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Make sure you get out. Visit Hard Truth. Great place to go. Or if you're not close enough, just go buy yourself some Hard Truth. Fine lines of spirits and bourbons and cinnamon vodka. All that and much more. Hey, we're back with it on the backside. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios and waiting for either Bob Kravitz or Shannon to join us here on the program and hoping you're having a good day. Who's heading out to the Indiana football spring game tonight as that takes place at Memorial Stadium? 8 o'clock. And looking forward to seeing that as spring will wrap up and it will go into hibernation for a while. Now, then they go back to portaling and filling any remaining holes that they think that they might have after seeing how things go. It's kind of a good way to put a final wrap and a bow on things for the coaching staff as you build up to something and you put pressure on players to perform. All right, how do you perform right now? Which, man, can you imagine having to perform in this offense when you've only been in it a short period of time? That's going to be a lot. David asking, talk new recruits. Yes, David, we have Jamie Shaw that will be joining us, and so that's who we'll be doing that with. He's the one of the national analysts for On Three. And looking forward to talking about that and much more as Indiana has continued to fill up their roster with Darian DeVries. But tonight at Memorial Stadium, they will be kicking off the spring game, wrapping up spring practice as Indiana looks to continue to build on last season's 11-1 regular season mark in college football playoff appearance. Can they return? I definitely think that they can. I definitely think they have every bit as good of tools as they did last season, if not more. And I think that they're going to be a better team than they were last year. I don't know that the record is going to be better because their schedule has jumped up. But Cooley asking, how many NBA draft picks does Florida and Houston have? You know what? Houston didn't win a national championship, so I don't even care. Florida, I'll have to go look and see how many they end up with. But I'm kind of thinking Walter Clayton Jr. might end up being one. But I will have to go back and look at that. Good question, though, because Florida was able to put things together with a team of guys that you were not really that familiar with. But that is something that will be visited because it has, I would have, well, when Bob is on in a little bit, I'll ask him. I think he might know when the last time a national champion did not have an NBA first rounder on their roster. And again, it doesn't have to be in the season that the national championship is won. It, as long as they are on the team and playing when the national championship is won, was won. Yeah, I can't wait to ask Bob about Gronkowski being the grand marshal out there. But yeah, Indiana landing the commitments on the basketball side without question. They are getting shooting. You're not going to have to worry about guys putting up shots from beyond the three-point arc next season. That is going to be a given. Now finding pieces to go along with that, some talented wings and a few bigs. I'm sure that's where the attention is now heading for Darren DeVries and et al. Staff of consultant. Let's see. We don't even know what Mike Bargens' title is going to be. I do find it interesting that those pieces are being filled in before that final assistant spot. So that kind of tells me, and it does make sense, there's more importance on those positions. Now, that is where the emphasis is being placed, on the guy who can be in the know on being able to refill roster spots in a second. And just knowing who's available, why, when, where, you've got it all ready to go. A walking database of players is what it's going to be like. And that the importance of that role is going to become bigger and bigger with each program. That's why you see these programs adding GM positions. That is what their main focus is. That takes the pressure off of the coach to have to keep himself immersed now into something that has magnified by a factor of 100, it seems, as far as names, availability, because of the portal. It's nuts. Truth, but it's a truth. You have to be able to fill those in at will. And in today's day and age, there's no way a head coach can keep up with that. Because if he's as knowledgeable on that as he would have to be, he cannot be giving the time to the coaching aspect, to the running of his program, that he would have to. It's just not possible. And the programs that probably have the right people in place to find those guys to help them suggest, all right, hey, look at this guy. They're going to be more successful. Alfred was a great college player in his day. No doubt about that. But that was also a different college game too. Brian mentions Amika Oprah, the 7-footer. Ante Brozovic, the 6'10" guy. Lampkin, 6'11" guy. Elijah Freeman, 6'8". That's your wing. Hamilton, 6'7", another wing. Those are the names. Yeah, those are the names that have already been. You can go to the Hoosier.com on three, and you will find each and every one of those names listed. As a matter of fact, go to the Hoosier.com on three. Subscribe now while they have the great offer out there. $1 for the first month, 50% off. On three is who's breaking the stories, guys. On three is now, they have become the source for breaking news and information. And the Hoosier.com has complete coverage there with Alec Glasley, Kyler Staley, Zach Browning, Colin McMahon, Drew Rosenthal, I mean, they've got a complete staff killing it. Drew Rosenberg, my bad. I will be heading out to Memorial Stadium this evening for tonight's spring game. High today expected to be around 66. Partly cloudy skies. No rain, though. No rain. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Thursday. Joined now by Mr. Bob Kravitz from BobKravitz.com. How are you, sir?
I'm splendid. Playing a lot of bad golf lately.
Well, that's better than the alternative.
Yeah, the weather is turning, and I'm out there on the golf course.
Having to use your phone today, I see.
Yeah, tell me if this works any better.
Oh, it's more. We can see much more of that beautiful mug of yours.
Oh, there you go.
That's just perfect. You look like you're ready to get out and run a few miles. So I know that's a lie.
That would be a lie. Unless there's a buffet involved, I ain't running anywhere.
Oh, my. Well, Indiana basketball's been landing them like there's a buffet here this week.
Yeah.
A shocker. It was kind of time. I'd mentioned that, it's time that Darren DeVries starts winning some of these recruiting battles. And then, I teed it up for him. Boom. He beats Kentucky and lands a big recruit just to start things off. And now two more have followed suit. So it's just been a bang, bang, bang process for the Hoosiers, and things slowly starting to fall in place for Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you got to be a little patient with these things. I mean, you're not always going to get your people in the first. It's kind of like free agency. You know, sometimes you pick up good players later in the process. Look, I'm not going to lie to your listeners and say that I've seen these guys play. I saw the Sharon Wilkerson kid.
Lamar. Sharon used to play for IU. He's the coach of Jeffersonville. It's Lamar Wilkerson.
Lamar, I saw him play when they came in. I think it was this year or last year, Sam Houston State.
Yeah.
I think he put up 18 points and looked like a player. But you don't really know what you have. I mean, Woodson put together a bunch of guys who were very highly rated, and they couldn't play together. It was the way the team was constructed was faulty. I don't know what to expect from this group, but I do like the fact that if you look at their stats, a lot of them can really shoot it, and that bodes well for Indiana from the perimeter.
Well, not only is it bode well, it's going to be such a departure from what Indiana fans have been able to see on the Simon Scott Assembly Hall floor, I should say the Branch McCracken Court at Simon Scott Assembly Hall. That's not something they've seen for a long time. That thing for decades. And then all of a sudden, it was as if there was a tariff placed on three shooting in Bloomington and you couldn't do it anymore.
Who was the last really good shooter at IU?
Blackman? Has there been?
Gordon? No, that goes back a ways.
Blackman was after Gordon.
Right.
Gordon was
right.
Like 08. Blackman was in the teens.
Yeah, maybe James Blackman. It's been a minute, hasn't it?
Yeah. And the sad fact is when you have to think that far back, it's like, oh, well, that answers your question
right
in and of itself.
It's just amazing to me that we live in a state where kids pop out of the womb being able to hit a 15-footer, and yet the state university can't seem to get itself a guy who can shoot and make a shot from the outside. It just blows me away.
Yeah, well, that will not be a problem for Indiana next season. They have focused on guys that have proven to be able to shoot the ball.
Right.
It starts with Tucker DeVries, who was already in the fold, per se. But now they're building around him. You've got a lot of guards that seem to be able to provide the firepower that Indiana is going to need. Now the focus has to turn to filling in with some power forward, so to speak, yes. using the old school vernacular. I don't think there is such thing as a power forward anymore, but whatever, stretch four, and a five. Yeah. I mean, and that five, I'm going to be interested in the type of player he is. Is he a Danny Wolf player? Is he, you know, Ladislav Golden at least? Is he a guy that can step out and, you know, here and there put up a three? Or not? Danny Wolf is not here and there. Danny Wolf is, you know, Danny Wolf.
I think those guys are hard to come by.
Oh, you're damn right they are.
They're really hard to come by. I think I would expect they'll end up with a traditional big man or two. But yeah, hey, look, if you can find a guy who can stretch the floor at the five position, you're sitting pretty. But those guys are hard to come by.
Well, absolutely. That makes their value that much better. They're like the offensive linemen in football. I mean, those guys that don't get a lot of pub, but they're very, very coveted. Yes. And the big guy has become something of a unicorn because no one is really using a traditional big guy.
Right.
But you still have to have a big guy. Now, one exception to that might be Matt Painter, who will probably continue to use a big in the post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. They everything about that program is old school. You know, Brayden Smith coming back, guys sticking around. I mean, they did lose Heidi and Colvin, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I'll be very curious to see how IU approaches all this. It's weird college sports now. Like, I don't know who these guys are. I'll be honest with you. I mean, Sicily I've seen a little bit, but otherwise, I mean, I don't watch Sam Houston State basketball. That might be shocking to you, but.
Well, you can go to the Hoosier.com and it's all laid out for you right there.
Okay. Bro. All right. I'll do that.
It is all right there. Yeah, and that's, now they've got to look at other guys going forward, and some of those guys are out there, and whether that's going to be Eddie Lampkin or Alex Chaikin, there are other names. There's plenty of time. There's plenty of time.
Yeah, there's no rush. You don't have to get – it's not like all the good guys go in the early portion. It's a little like free agency. You know, you have your elite guys, you're going to get overpaid. And then you've got your secondary level guys who are perfectly fine for whatever system you want to employ.
Absolutely. And I think that it's going to be a style of basketball that is not only fun for Indiana fans to watch, it's going to be competitive, which is going to not land them in the eighth, ninth, tenth spot of the Big Ten year after year. You just can't live. You can't live in that neighborhood.
No. I mean, you're Indiana, for God's sake, although you haven't been Indiana for about 20 years. No, you're absolutely right. I'm just always leery about telling you what this team is going to look like when the truth of the matter is, haven't seen these guys play. I mean, I'm sure.
Well, hell, we don't know what it's going to look like yet because you've got to wait and see all the pieces. And
right, exactly.
It's impossible. Exactly.
And this is going to be one of the greatest challenges for DeVries is putting, which he did at Drake, which he did at West Virginia, putting together a bunch of disparate parts and trying to get them to be a coherent basketball team. That first year you're at a new school is a real challenge.
But that's something that has become more common for
absolutely
basketball. And the fact that he's coming off of a season that he just did that for the first time.
Right, right.
And so now,
look at what Dusty May did. I mean.
And is doing again. He quickly reloaded.
Quickly reloaded, yes. So we'll find out what Darren DeVries is all about pretty quick.
Purdue also loading up, adding some people. to a core of players that they will be bringing back. That's kind of the last, well, don't want to say that. The last ride of the James gang. How about that?
Yeah. For this group, most certainly.
I don't think you'll ever see this again. You're not going to see this again, whether it's at Purdue or any place else. These three guys that have gone through 4 years together,
right,
that have played virtually the whole time, you're not going to see that again. That feels over.
Yeah, absolutely. And they started to feel it this year when Colvin and Heidi decided to transfer. And Ben Painter said it during the NCAA tournament. He said, we're going to have to go into the portal and grab two or three guys. So he knew it was coming, obviously. But yeah, the great thing about Purdue is they're old school. They are a perfect example of what college basketball used to be. And it's kind of nice. I mean,
they are for now.
For now.
Once they get out of this next season and Fletcher, Lawyer, and Kaufman Wren are gone, I think that's the end of the Purdue thing, whatever you want to call it. There's just no way. I don't see guys staying at a school, much less a group of guys staying at a school for 4 years.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. What?
Not one that's successful. Not a program that's successful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, clearly they're going to have to go into the portal now and again, but you know, they seem to have been able to keep their guys over the years, and I'm not sure exactly what's going to change that.
I just think that because of the ever evolving aspect with the portal and the portal bringing everybody up, and the money that continues to climb. Now that's it's going to find its level at some point, but it has not yet. It has continued to rise like floodwaters, baby. Year over year, it has just doubled and then some. It happened again. Now, what does that mean for the season after?
Right.
Because last year, most of the money we were talking about, although it was in the high, it was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
You haven't heard one person that we're talking about and that kind of number. It's all millions. Now.
Yeah.
That quick. That's one season. What happens next year? Very curious to see.
Right. That's a good point. Hey, you know what I'm excited about?
I do not. Tell me.
Pacers playoffs.
Well, that's another thing to bring up. Starting on Saturday at noon, man, taking on the Bucks. You said the last time that you felt good, that you thought that they were going to go on a run.
Yep.
They're playing they have a better record than last season. Let's see. Are they ready for the big time?
They are. And I think the wild card in all of this, well, there's two wild cards. One is Miles Turner and whether he can produce. He was the second leading scorer in their series against the Bucks. And Brooke Lopez of the Bucks is very slow-footed and wants nothing to do with the perimeter, having to defend Turner on the perimeter. I think the other wild card is Benedict Mathurin. I think he's going to have at least one game, like breakout game, where he comes in off the bench and gives them some big buckets when they need it. But I think the Pacers will win this series in 7 games. I think it'll be a home court series. And as long as they're able to run, and I see no reason why they wouldn't be able to, I think this is going to be a great series. Antetokounmpo's playing this year. Doesn't look like Lillard is going to play, but I think the Pacers will get past that first round and take on Cleveland.
Yeah, I like to see them get back to the finals. I just don't know that they have it to take down the Celtics, man.
I don't know if they have it to take down the Cavaliers, much less the Celtics.
Oh, well, no, the Cavs and the Celtics are kind of up. I don't.
Yeah, 260 win teams.
Who wins between the Celtics and the Cavs? I mean, I don't know.
I think the Celtics, because they've been there and done that, and I just think they're a perfectly constructed team. But yeah, I just think the Pacers, before what was it, they've won 14 out of the last 17 games. And one of those losses was a give up game where they didn't play any of their starters. Their defense has been elite since January 1st. You know, I mean, they've got the fourth best record in the league since January 1st. They're 40-17 since that 10-15 start. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Absolutely. How they finished the season was just strong. And really I know strong. That you can kind of play with the numbers a little bit because some of the other teams were resting players as they were heading into the playoffs. When the Pacers lost that one, the only game they lost there at the end, were they resting guys?
Yeah, they didn't play any of their guys.
That's right. That's right. They had reached the point of no change, so right. There was no point in doing that.
Okay. Yeah. So I think the numbers 13 of 16 or 14 of 17, one of those two. And like I say, one of those games was a give up game where they didn't play anybody. They're playing marvelous basketball. I just think that they really match up well with the Bucks. I think this is going to be a series where Giannis Antetokounmpo averages 40 points per game and the Bucks lose.
Sounds like a good one. What is up next for you?
Well, just basically, we got some pre-draft stuff coming on Monday. Ballard is having a press conference on Monday. Saturday before that, I got the Pacers and Bucks, so look for that.
What are they going to do about quarterback, man?
Well, I think they're just going to let them play it out, battle it out, and see who's better. I think they are, in their heart of hearts, rooting for Richardson to win the battle. But, you know, you can't look at your team in the eyes and in the face, whatever, and say Richardson's the quarterback when he's not the best guy out there. So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a daily thing. You're going to get so tired of reading that Jones was 6 of 12 for 27 yards in a practice. I mean, everything that they do is going to be under a microscope.
Bob Kravitz from BobKravitz.com. Give the man a follow and wish him well on the golf course because I've seen him play. He needs it.
I'm terrible.
Oy vey. I'm right there with you. I'm worse.
Worse. We're not going to be qualifying for the Masters anytime soon.
Not this year.
No. Maybe next year.
Bob Kravitz, appreciate you, my friend.
All right, buddy. See you later.
Thank you, brother. More coming up from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios, and we are back with it. Hello, everybody. Jim Coyle with Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. Make sure you are a subscriber wherever you podcast or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. And for the most up-to-date news on Indiana basketball, football, and recruiting news, go to thehoosier.com now with On3. Just go to thehoosier.com and subscribe today. On3 has great national writers like Ari Wasserman, Andy Staples, and Steve Wilfong covering football, Pete Nakos, Jamie Shaw, and Joe Tipton breaking basketball stories every day. In addition to that, our own local coverage with Alec Lasley, Kyler Staley, and Zach Browning covering everything Indiana just for you. Go to thehoosier.com. Subscribe today. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Thursday. Looking forward to talking to Jamie Shaw from On3 here in a little while. He'll join us and we'll recapitulate all that has happened with Indiana basketball over the last several days, which has been a lot as Indiana has picked up, three recruits this week? on the basketball side of things. So they are getting it done. Tate and Conaway, the latest on the heels of Miles. And then before that, it was Lamar Wilkerson. Pile them up, man. It's kind of hard to keep them track. It's getting to the point to where it's hard to keep track of all the names. But Indiana basketball added one of the most experienced guards in the transfer portal from Troy, transfer Tate and Conaway. Announced his commitment to Indiana on Wednesday, just a few days after visiting Bloomington. He's a 6'3", 186-pound guard, currently the number 2 ranked overall player in the portal, so another top 100 player. That's according to the On3 industry ranking. After spending 3 years at the JUCO level and the past 2 seasons at Troy, he's got 5 years under his belt already. This is a sixth-year player. That matters. He has 1 year of eligibility remaining. And you know, I mentioned this. They're going to have to start finding players that have eligibility remaining. So you're not having to do this, which I know it's the first year, but you have to find that balance, that mix. He's a native of Burleson, Texas. He started 34 games last season for the Trojans, averaging over 14 points, 4.5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals a game. He earned the Sun Belt Player of the Year. So he's a high-level player and should fit nicely into the rotation. And we'll see how that goes. And it's just going to add more shooting, but it's also going to add more faces that the defenders have to pay attention to. Let's be honest. Who has the defense had to worry about when playing Indiana in basketball from the perimeter? No one. They haven't had to worry about anybody because no one was prolific at shooting the ball. And that made Indiana a milquetoast, lukewarm, run-of-the-mill, vanilla offense for 8 years. 8 years. They've stunk offensively. I mean, yeah, they've had some high moments in those 8 years, sure, but not relevant. Conaway shot 47% from the field. Pretty daggone good for a guard. 27%. Only 27% from 3 on 4 attempts per game. That needs to come up, so he probably won't be the lead three-point shooter, but that means he finds a way to get his shot in, though, at 47% for a guard. He shot 29.2% beyond the arc. Okay, that doesn't make sense. I think we'll have to go back and revisit those numbers. But while he sometimes struggled with turnovers, averaging almost 2.7 per game, he still posted a 1.75 assist-to-turnover ratio and assist rate of 39%. So he's a tough physical guard. One of the nation's leaders in steals. So he's a gritty, grimy defender. A guy that's who's going to be playing against that's who's going to guard Braden Smith when you play Purdue, or that's who's going to guard the team's best guard. That's who's going to try to shut him down. And you have to have those kinds of guys. And well, he's probably not, obviously not going to be Indiana's three-point threat. He's going to be their lead defender, it looks like, I would imagine. But a guy that can score, that can get to the basket if he has to, that can find guys. Different roles for different folks. And you have to have people to fill in each of those roles. Each one does something different. Lamar Wilkerson, you know his commitment did a lot of things. It greased the rails, I think, so to speak. But it's a major addition to the Indiana roster. It's a significant turning point and the evolution of Indiana basketball under Darren DeVries. Wilkerson's a shooting guard who spent three standout years at Sam Houston State. He chose Bloomington over Kentucky. That is a win in and of itself. We talked about that. That got a lot of attention. It got a lot of people's attention, as it should have. As it should have. But that's also what you want and what you need. Because when other players specifically start paying attention, opens their eyes up to the possibility of maybe going to some place that they hadn't thought of prior to that. And that has been the case now as you see these guys starting to fill in. But what does it add after that? Indiana still needs pieces that we've talked about. And we'll pick up that conversation when Jamie Shaw joins us. Because there are many others out there that Indiana's looking at. Also, the NCAA, before I forget, just approved a rule for faking injuries. If it used to be left up to one person to do a video review after they were sent in. Now, if the ball is placed and you appear to fake an injury, your team will be assessed a timeout. And if you don't have a timeout, it will be a 5-yard delay of game penalty. No faking injuries tonight at the spring game. I'm wondering, are they going to, I assume that they will, but will they be doing live tackling tonight? Just curious. Another big thing about Lamar Wilkerson, the words that he had to say, the fact that he chose Indiana over Kentucky, that speaks without speaking. But then the words he had to say about, I didn't want to be just another guy. I want to be a part of you know, bringing, you know, Indiana back, yada, yada. But this has to come from guys, again, that have more than a year to do it. And hopefully they'll start landing a couple of those guys. But even when you do, what are the odds of keeping a guy like that has more, just because they have multiple years, what are the odds of keeping them? That's a struggle that you're going to have to deal with as well. So we'll see how it works out and how they continue to fall in place, because I do think that they will continue to fall in place as they have begun to do. Alex Chaikin, Eddie Lampkin, a couple of bigs Indiana will be looking at or is looking at already. Elijah Freeman, a name still out there. Ante Brozovic, Kevin Overton, Duke Brennan. Those are probably four at the top currently as of today for Indiana to look at. We'll talk more about each and every one of those guys again with Jamie Shaw when he joins us from on three. But there's a lot of options out there, man. And once you start to put a team together, I do believe that players view it. It's a combination of things. Playing time and playing with. You know, how much playing time am I going to be able to get? You know, the NIL is set aside. That is, of course, if that, you know, doesn't reach a resolution, then nothing else matters. So you have to approach this stuff with the NIL is taken care of. Playing time and playing with. How much playing time am I going to get? Who am I playing with? Are we going to be good? Are we going to win? We have a shot at winning? I want to win. As much as people think that this is all about the money for guys, it's not. They want the money. Why the hell wouldn't they? I'd take the money. Absolutely. And I'd want to get as much as I could get because I know it's out there, because I know others are getting it. There's no reason for me not to get it. So I want the money too. But I want to win. I don't want to go out there and mail it in. That's not even fun. Winning is fun. Being the best is fun. And if you think these guys don't want to win, all I can say is I completely disagree with you. There was nobody in the tournament that was playing. They all wanted to win. You think none of them wanted to be the last team standing and cutting those nets down? Very few people get to do that. So, yeah, I disagree with that. You just have to have the right guys that come together as a team. Indiana did not have that last year. All that BS they talked, and that goes to show you, you cannot listen to what players say. Just think back of all the BS you have heard out of Indiana's players under both Archie Miller and Mike Woodson. They don't really have a choice. So it's not their fault. But, and I wonder if one day that doesn't change. When things are crap, like they have been under both Woodson and Archie Miller, and players know that it's crap, I wonder how much longer they're going to refrain from saying, you know, this is crap. We're not coached well. We don't practice well. We don't do this well. Whatever the case may be, because one day that's going to happen. These players are getting more and more power. And it's going to come to a point to where, let's say it was Cooper Flagg, played for Team X, not Duke, Team X, doesn't matter who it is. Did not have the season that he had at Duke. Didn't have quite the guys around him he needed, or the guys around him weren't put together. The roster wasn't, because let's say he was on an Indiana team last season, just for as an example, and have a coach that doesn't really know what he's doing as far as coaching college basketball specifically, is trying to run a system that just has been proven time and time again does not work. How long is it going to be before a player of that stature, who has the power, so to speak, that a Cooper Flagg has, being as good as he is, just doesn't speak up and say, our coach is whatever. Our coach doesn't show up until X, or our coach does this, or our team, we don't have a team together. We have a team of individuals. I wonder, when is it going to come time for these guys to start telling the truth about how things are? Because you think they're going to get rid of a high-end player? What are you going to do about it? Seriously, what if that's Cooper Flagg in the middle of the season, and he calls you out, and it's true, but he calls you out. What are you going to do about it? You going to bench him? No. You going to take away his NIL money? Nope. I just wonder when the BS stops and it's heading towards the pro system more and more as we get to each day. But that's my rant for the day, baby. That's the hard truth. Speaking of, glad to have you along for the ride here from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios. Take a small pause for the cause. Up next, hopefully, let's see, should be Chris Denary joining us as the Pacers prepare for the playoffs to make a run. Can they return back to the finals this year and go further? We'll see. Lots more coming up from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios on this Thursday, and that means a visit from our good friend Chris Denary from the Pacers, and the Pacers resting up as they prepare to start their playoff run on Saturday against the Milwaukee Bucks at 1 p.m., little lunchtime, matinee action, Chris.
Yeah, we got sort of a taste of that last Sunday. The final regular season game was in Cleveland, and it was a 1 o'clock start. So, ironically, it's also the first game of the playoffs. Now, the play-in tournament has been underway. Was odd to see the two home teams get blown out last night in their quest to make the playoffs. But, yeah, it's an exciting time. I've been down at the practice facility the last 2 days. Today, the Pacers taking the day off. They'll be back at it tomorrow. But they had good practices on Tuesday and Wednesday. And it's a team they're very familiar with. This will be they played 15 times in the last year plus. Last year, they played 5 times in the regular season, 6 times in the postseason, then 4 times this year, guaranteed at least 4 games here. So these are teams that know each other very well. The Pacers are very similar from last year, though they have Benedict Mathurin. Remember, he was not available. The Bucks have made a number of changes. Kyle Kuzma now a part of it, Kevin Porter Jr. But still, when you talk about Milwaukee, you talk about Giannis. And Giannis Antetokounmpo is playing at such a high level right now, Jim. They won their last 8 games of the regular season, and he averaged a near triple-double. He's really raised his game even more than an all-NBA player could raise it, especially playing without Damian Lillard. So it's going to be exciting. I know the city is excited. It's going to be fantastic to open the playoffs at Gainbridge Fieldhouse on Saturday afternoon, and can't wait.
Well, Indianapolis is a playoff town, first of all. It doesn't matter if you're talking about the Pacers, the Colts, the NCAA, college football championship. They love playoffs, baby, and the fans love them. They rally around their teams, and I admit the Pacers present a nice home court to play in, and hopefully that will serve them well. They're going to need it. Milwaukee, as you just mentioned, surging at the right time, even though they are not completely in place. Antetokounmpo kind of willing them to be into place.
Yeah, they're without Damian Lillard. He's missed a significant amount of time. It was a calf injury that they found that were blood clots. So it's a very serious situation. They have said he will not be available early in the series. They're hoping he's back at some point. But we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, you're dealing with a health issue, not an injury issue. But, yeah, these are two teams playing well at the right time of the year. The Pacers have won 7 of their last 8. The Bucks, as I mentioned, have won 8 straight. Since 2025 started, the Pacers have the 4th best record in the NBA. I mean, they've been fantastic. The only teams better than the Pacers since the calendar flipped to 2025, Oklahoma City, Boston, and Cleveland. And the Pacers have the number 4 record since. So I think this week, though, came at a good time. The last month, the Pacers had a tough schedule. A lot of back-to-backs, never had more than 1 day off between games. So I think this is a good week to catch your breath, have another good day of practice tomorrow, and be ready for game 1 on Saturday.
Yeah, and what is the key for the Pacers have played? Their defense has been much better this time around. And obviously that is something that has to pick up in the playoffs, because if there is any stat, and I don't know this for a fact, I am just guessing – making an educated guess, I bet if you looked at any particular stat, none makes a bigger jump than defensive stats for teams that win.
Yeah, I think the other thing is games tend to slow down a little bit. Now, the Pacers want to play their fast pace. That's to their advantage. But still, the possessions are a lot different. Playoff basketball, it's like the NCAA tournament. Everything's just ratcheted up a level because you get to elimination games. Now, granted, it's a best-of-7 series, but you go into games 1 and 2, and you don't want to give back home court advantage. So it's almost like you're playing an elimination game on Saturday in game 1 because you want to make sure you maintain home court advantage. I think the real difference for this Pacers team, Jim, is their offense this year took a step down, but their defense took a step up. Last year, they were ranked somewhere 25, 26th when it came to defensive rating. They ended the year this year 14th. So they were in the top half of the NBA as far as defense is concerned, and they were still a top 10 offense. So you're right. Defense is going to be paramount. How do you wall off Giannis? Giannis with Damian Lillard out has become a very good playmaker, and this is one of the best three-point shooting teams in the NBA. And so Giannis is doing a really good job of finding his teammates. You've got to pay attention. Do you double Giannis? Because if you double him, it's going to leave somebody open who's a good three-point shooter. So I'm sure the Pacers will show a number of different defenses. They'll play multiple defenses throughout this series. And from game to game, you'll also see changes made, adjustments made. That's what usually happens in these NBA best-of-seven game series.
Yeah, and Indiana is going to have to do some things that they didn't do last season, obviously, but they made it to the finals. This year, it's a little tougher. I hate to say that, a little tougher knees, but it is a little tougher. You've got two 60-win teams. You've got the Knicks that are there. But are the Pacers, they seem to be playing better at this moment now than they were at this moment a season ago?
Yeah, I think they're a better team. They're a more well-rounded team. They also have Benedict Mathurin. They did not have him last year at the end of March and into April, and that's a significant hit. You're talking about a 16-point-a-game score that comes off the bench and a guy that can go get you baskets when you need it. Yeah, I do think they are a better team right now than they were a year ago, but I also think the Bucks are a better team right now than they were a year ago. Remember, they did not have Giannis Antetokounmpo in the playoffs last year. But, you know, it's been a fantastic season, and you hope it continues to be even more fantastic. What we saw on Sunday in a game that didn't mean anything as far as the playoffs were concerned is the Pacers' third string rallied from a 27-point deficit to get the Pacers' 50th win of the year. And, Jim, I think that's hugely significant for the franchise from the standpoint that there have been 49 NBA seasons, and it's only the seventh time that a Pacers team has won 50 games. And you sort of put 50 up there, you know, like you used to in the old days in college basketball. Now they play more games. Remember, everyone wanted 20 wins. I mean, that was the stamp. And I think in the NBA, in an 82-game schedule, 50 wins is meaningful. Now, Rick Carlisle would say, okay, that's in the past. We've got to focus on the postseason. But I did want to take a step back because I do think where this franchise was 3 years ago, they won 25 games. Then 2 years ago, they won 35. Last year, they won 47. This year, 50. I think that's pretty significant.
Yeah, you mentioned that last week, and ever since then, I've been paying attention because they had the opportunity to get to that mark, and they did in winning some games at some tough places. Although that guys were resting each other, they still got the wins in, and it's always great to hit those marks. And now I know with having this same core together, they want to do more this season. They want to go further. But you also have a roster of guys that have a year of solid playoff experience under their belt. Not that they didn't have previous experience, some of them, but last year playing together the way they did, that has to be a benefit to being back and being basically the same team going this season.
Yeah, I think there's a trust factor with your teammates, you know, the reliability of your team. The other thing that this team has to deal with this year is the expectations are a little bit different based on what you did last year. Last year, they went into the playoffs. Honestly, nobody expected them to be there. And then nobody expected them to get all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. So this year, this is a confident basketball team. And I think Augie's bringing a toy in to he wants to get his voice on the radio and the YouTube channel here.
Sounds like he's using a voice modulator.
Yeah, see, he's got his favorite egg. He is chewing on the yolk.
It is that time of year.
Here,
speaking of which, happy Easter to everybody. I hope I don't forget tomorrow to say that, but happy Easter egg hunting. And how in the hell did the rabbit and eggs become entitled to
that is funny,
which is about Jesus Christ being risen and all that. I don't see the correlation, but just curious on that, man. So what do you do, man?
We have all the games.
You've got to love Bally Sports I'm sorry.
FanDuel. Yeah, we have the games. Yeah, we can go side by side as long as the game's not on ABC, which none of the first four games are on ABC. So Saturday afternoon, 12:30 pregame on FanDuel Sports Network. We'll be on the air at 1. The game is also on ESPN. Good friend of mine, Michael Grady, the voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves and a Warren Central grad. He'll be on the play-by-play for ESPN. Stephanie White, the head coach of the Indiana Fever, is doing the color. So you'll have two options. Hopefully you watch us because you've watched us all year. And then game two next Tuesday is on NBA TV, but it's also on FanDuel Sports Network. And then games three and four from Milwaukee, they'll also be on FanDuel Sports Network. So this is the last, unfortunately, this is the last year that the local broadcasters can do the playoffs with the new TV contract.
That sucks.
Yeah, with the new TV contract that comes into next year with Amazon and Peacock and NBC. This is it. So we're really looking forward to it. We know there's a lot of interest and people are excited. You know, it was cool the other day. I was driving downtown going to practice and people are walking down the street wearing their Pacers gear. I think Saturday afternoon is going to be great. The weather should be good. You said it. Indianapolis is a great playoff championship tournament town because you can be downtown, go to the restaurants, walk from the restaurants, from the bars of the restaurants. He still wants to get his word in. But you can do all of that downtown before and after the game, and I think that's going to be really cool.
It'll be a fun time in a fun town. Chris Denary.
I'm just going to show you the egg. Jim, here is the egg.
Well, that's a big old thing, man. No wonder. That'll get your attention for those of you that can't see it. We're talking a toy that has imagine a fried egg, but about 8-9 inches by 8 or 9 inches with the yolk in the middle. I guess that's where the squeaky toy is.
Yeah, it's like a rubber ball where the yolk is. So, yeah.
All right. Chris Denary, appreciate you, my friend.
All right, talk to you next week.
Enjoy it, brother, and good luck this weekend.
All right, Chris
Denary joining us here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. As up next, we're not going to take a break just yet, but we'll be joined by Jamie Shaw of On Three, and we'll talk about all that has happened for Indiana basketball over the last week, and some things that could be coming as the Hoosiers now starting to line up with filling in their roster under Darren DeVries. That was not really, it shouldn't have been a concern. It was going to happen. But how things happen, there's sometimes a domino effect. Was Lamar Wilkerson part of that domino effect? We don't really know. But because, you know, these conversations with Miles and all these other players, they were already happening. It's not like they were new things that just came out of nowhere. Conorway, you know, they were already highly guys, and it's just finishing the job. Now, does landing a guy like Lamar Wilkerson prompt Josiah Miles and or Tate and Conorway to go ahead and say, all right, I want to get in there now, because does that affect the NIL package you get? I don't know. We've got lots more coming up. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, the man, the authority from On Three, Jamie Shaw, will join us. We're back with more, filling up your mind with plenty of information on the backside from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Thursday. Glad to have you along and joined now by the great Jamie Shaw, one of the great national basketball recruiting analysts for On3. Make sure you go to thehoosier.com On3. Subscribe now before you miss out on all this information coming out on a daily basis. And Jamie is one of the guys that makes this happen. Jamie, and there's a lot going on right now, just not just for Indiana, but just everywhere. So I would not want to be you or any of the other Joe or any of the other guys there trying to keep up with this, because this is it's maddening at this point.
Man, Jim, I'm sitting here listening to those commercials. I saw a distillery that had the cinnamon vodka and the coconut rum, and it's like
Hard Truth, baby.
I'll tell you, man, the transfer portal makes that a very appealing commercial with all the stuff that's going on there. But yeah, no, it's it's a very, very, a lot of moving parts throughout the country. Things happen very quickly. Things happen quietly. Things happen loudly. And things happening in every level. You know, and also, too, we're getting into AAU basketball. We're getting into, you know, the final 2025 rankings coming up.
Please don't mention that. Please don't mention that. I was wanting to pretend that things might slow down.
It's a year-round process now.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but I like to lie to myself sometimes.
No, exactly. So, we're starting to get in. Fortunately, they pushed the first live period back to May this year, so might have a couple weeks in between the portal closing on the 22nd and the first live period, but then it just gets right back going for the next couple months.
Well, Indiana here is they've been making. Hey, I put out a poster right before they landed Lamar Wilkerson that said, you know, it's early and there's plenty of time. No need to worry, but it is time for Darren DeVries to start winning a recruiting battle. You have to win a recruiting battle. And then, bam, he wins one that I quite don't know that I expected him to win, getting Lamar Wilkerson over Kentucky, which was definitely a surprise to Kentucky fans and those guys, and probably to a lot of Indiana people, to be honest with you, because when he took that Kentucky visit, then canceled the Auburn visit, it kind of said, oh, okay, you see how this is going to lay out. But not so fast, my friend.
Well, and coming, it sounds like talking to people around the recruitment that he actually came from behind in that. Kentucky did have some momentum. Kentucky had some confidence coming in. And in the final hours, DeVries came in and won the recruiting battle of a coveted player, somebody that a lot of teams need. I mean, 44% from three last year, career 40% shooter from three. And he did it against high major players or high major teams as well, 19 against Baylor, 18 on Indiana. You know, he had 15 on Pittsburgh, knocking down multiple threes in all those games too. So a true floor spacer that you can win a battle with that provides spacing with a team, that was a very good win and something that he came in and you know, Indiana fans should be very excited about.
Yeah, he actually closed the deal after the visit. He flew back out to see Lamar Wilkerson, and apparently that made a huge impact. He made comments to that effect. He also said, and this is not a knock on Kentucky, you could say this about a lot of places, but I didn't want to go to Kentucky and just be another guy. And he seemed to have an understanding that, you know, Indiana is a traditional power, but they have not been a traditional power in any Indiana. Fans should acknowledge that. I can definitely tell you that, because everyone knows that. But there's still a power. Don't confuse winning of late for the other. And he seems to be of the mindset of wanting to help Indiana get back to that. So having that winning type of attitude, that's going to win fans over. And then since he has committed, we have seen multiple commitments this week.
Oh, for sure. So, you know, coming in, it's funny how that can happen, how you get a little bit of momentum and then all of a sudden it builds on itself and things get rolling pretty good. Now, all of a sudden you're starting to see, I remember last time we talked, now you're starting to see kind of a semblance as to what this roster could end up looking like.
Absolutely. And I always wonder, and I mentioned this, and you talk to these guys a lot more than I get the opportunity to, but like Indiana, it was kind of a blank canvas. You know, Kentucky, you kind of know what you had as far as the team makeup and that Lamar Wilkerson knew who was what. So, A, he can definitely look at Indiana and say, well, more chances for playing minutes right there automatically. And, of course, a coach can say that because he's not lying either. Who else is he going to give him to at that moment for certain? But he is a difference maker. He's a guy that played against Indiana. He's played in Simon Scott Assembly Hall, very coveted. And he said he felt like that he was the priority, and Indiana made him feel that way. Now they've got to put that on the court and bring that together. But they've got more guys they've got to add. Indiana's got to land some bigs. Although Josiah Miles, Tayton Conterway, other great additions, Indiana is going to be such a departure for what fans have seen for a decade in Indiana, because a school that has been one of the shootingest schools in the history of college basketball for a decade became, it's like they went into the dumpster and forgot how to do it. That's going to turn, because the offenses is going to be predicated more so on that type of game.
Well, looking at a guy like a Tayton Conterway, he's the type of guy that elevates the floor of a team. He's a strong physical player. He heats up the point of attack, and he won the Sun Belt Player of the Year last year off of winning plays. You know, you look at his numbers, and it's like, oh, you know, he averaged 14 a game, shot sub 30 from three and all that stuff. But he still won the Conference Player of the Year because he made winning plays, and he won it off of elevating the floor of the team. He's got positional size, and he defends at the point of attack. So he's somebody that I think Indiana fans will come to love, because it's kind of a throwback type of guy to the old school type of ways that they had on the team. And then you add a Josiah Miles who can just go score the ball. I mean, he had 11 against South Carolina, 14 against Nebraska, 18 against Georgia Tech, 13 against Florida. You know, he's a guy who just, as a sophomore with positional size, knows how to put the ball in the basket. You know, so whether the role's off the bench, whether the role's, you know, where he comes in at, he's somebody who can put numbers on the board. Both of those guys are very, very big pieces to the overall picture as to what's being built here. Obviously, you get five starters. You probably get about eight or nine in the rotation. And as we talked last time, you want to build the baseline as to what this rotation looks like and then build upon that. Well, with the guys they've brought in, they have a pretty solid look at the rotation with Lamar, with Tayton, with Josiah, with Tucker, with Reed, Connor Enright. All these guys are guys who have won previously, put up numbers, and have familiarity with what's going on.
Yeah, and now we're seeing this transformation of the program and the style that they're going to play or should be expecting. The bigs that they're going to have to incorporate into this. I almost hate to call them bigs anymore. Although they are big, they're no longer their traditional. Unless you're at Purdue, you're not going to have a traditional five probably. But there are guys that Indiana is chasing, guys like Alex Chaikin, Eddie Lampkin, among others, that Elijah Freeman, that I get he's more of a power wing or whatever you'd call it. There's not even such thing as a power forward anymore in college basketball, is there?
Yeah, well, you know, it's fluid.
It's a stretch four, right?
About 5 or 6 years ago, Brad Stevens, you know, formerly Butler, now Boston Celtics, he said that he doesn't recruit positionally anymore, point guards, shooting guards, small forwards. He recruits guards, bigs, and wings. Those are the three positions, and everything's fluid. You want to have, you know, a lot of people want to have five guys on the floor who can make a play with the ball in their hands. I was talking with Todd Golden during this NCAA tournament run. How did you put together? What were you looking for when you were piecing together this roster? He said, I wanted to be able to put five guys on the floor who can make a play with the ball in his hands. You know, and that's kind of the direction that a lot of basketball is going in these days. What, you know, you want positional size, you want versatility, you want length, but you want guys who can make a decision with the ball. You know, these guys that you mentioned, Eddie Lampkin, he's got experience in the game. Alex Chaikin, you know, one of the most prolific shooters in college basketball last year, 47% from at Lafayette last year at 6'5". He's a late bloomer. You got a guy like Duke Brennan, you know, whom you mentioned previously, big, strong, physical guy. You know, he had 10 double-doubles last year, 10-9, 64% from the field. Now, he's kind of a throwback big, a kind of a throwback type of post, a guy that you can put on the block, but he sets big screens. He does the physical things. You know, he rotates well on defense and all that type of stuff. You know, Elijah Freeman, whom you mentioned. Now, he's got huge upside. 6'8", 6'7", kind of a wing, 45% from three last year, 18 points at D2 Lincoln Memorial, eight rebounds. You know, he's just chock full of upside with his positional size and length at 6'7", 6'8". These are some really intriguing names that you're able to kind of chase now, that you're able to spend a little bit of time on, that you have, you know, the six guys that they have in tow already. Plus, I guess, Trent Sisley as a freshman. The guys that you already have, you're able to chase these big-name guys to kind of fill in the holes and elevate, continue to elevate the ceiling of the team.
Yeah, and I think that you're going to see the bulk of this team is built around a Trent Sisley, a DeVries, Tucker DeVries type of player. These guys that are pretty versatile. They're in that 2 to 4 range. They could go from playing the 2 all the way down to the 4, and which is kind of unique. But you get a 6'8 guy that can handle the ball well enough, can shoot the ball well enough, but that can go inside, take an elbow to the head or give an elbow to the head and score, or grab a rebound. That is, I think that's going to be the core of this team, to be honest with you, because they'll be able to do so many things. Not that a lethal three-point shooter is not just as important. Hell yeah, they are. And whoever the 5 ends up being, but that's the type of core that I think that this offense is going to be centered around.
Oh, for sure. And I think that's kind of what you're seeing across the landscape of, you know, it started off in the NBA, and I think it's trickling down to the college game. It's the more of this, you know, pro-style type offense is where there's flexibility and versatility within the lineup.
Any of the other names that are out popping that you've seen that are just moving around? I know that there's a lot going on. What's the biggest news that's popping right now, the latest in college basketball? Guys are moving everywhere.
Well, I think a big thing that people are looking at is guys that are going into the transfer portal without eligibility left. You know, hoping that the waiver comes through. You know, the NCAA has before a rule coming out that there's a possibility of a, you know, 5 years to play 4. There's a possibility of a waiver coming through and all that stuff. So with April 22nd being the closed day of the transfer portal, you have a whole bunch of guys that are going into the portal. Isaiah Swope went in yesterday, who Indiana fans might be familiar with. That have played 4 years of college basketball and then, you know, seeing, you know, in the hopes that that waiver comes through. So there's a possibility that, you know, if, you know, these guys that are entering the portal, they don't get traction currently, but another wave could hit if the option comes through, the fifth-year guys are able to get an extra year of eligibility left.
Yeah, Ed asking of an update on Luke Goody. No, there is no update right now. I don't know. I go back and forth on whether I think he'll end up getting it or not. Normally I would say, oh yeah, easy. Just sue the NCAA and do one. But he played at the end of the season that he's trying to get back. And that may be, if there's any way for the NCAA to win anything, it might be that. We'll see. To be honest with you, I don't know that it's a big deal or not, anymore if Luke Goody comes back. I mean, he already is probably the fifth best shooter on the team. And that's not a knock on Luke Goody. It's just what they're being able to add here, without question. Other teams in the Big Ten, Michigan, Dusty May did not screw around. He went out and took care of business and picked up some pieces. And the same can be said for Matt Painter at Purdue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. You saw a lot of activity early, obviously, with Dusty May coming in. They get the number one player in the portal with Yaxel Lindenberg, picked up the big 7'3" skilled guy from UCLA that I think what he was able to do last season with the two bigs, playing both Vlad Golden and the Yale transfer on the court at the same time, giving Danny Wolf the freedom to kind of create and an opportunity to play a little bit of a unique style, I think really opened the eyes of a lot of big men, traditional big men who have ball skills. Lindenberg and Ade Mora are both guys that have ball skills and have the ability to make a play with the ball in their hand. So it's going to be very interesting to see if that was lightning in a bottle last year with both Golden and Wolf, or you know, how they're able to kind of build on that. And then Purdue just got a guy from North Florida yesterday, Liam Murphy. One of the better shooters in the portal, 40% guy who shot 7 attempts per game, quick release, started off in the Ivy League as well. big time shooter, big time stroke on him. Not much else around in his game, but he averaged 13 a game just off of shooting threes off of 7 a game. That'll be interesting to see how he's able to space the floor alongside Oscar Clough, the big guy who comes in. One of the best players in college basketball last year when it comes to player efficiency, when it comes to his ability to score the ball, rebounding percentage and all that. It'll be interesting to see how they mix those two guys in with Braden Smith and Kaufman Wren as well as what they're bringing in. But both teams have been very active. Both teams have very intriguing additions to their rosters. That'll be fun to watch as to how, Big Ten basketball, they were a sleeper conference last year. Didn't get much notoriety starting off, and then all of a sudden toward the end of the season, it's like, oh, wow, these guys can really play. And then, they got however many they got into the NCAA tournament, and a couple of them made runs and all that. So, it'll be very fun to watch how they tussle at the top.
Notice Mackenzie Mbako, one of the former Indiana transfers, looks to possibly heading North Carolina State, viewed as a top contender for him. He's already been to North Carolina State. Sounds like he's visited Texas A&M on Monday and had a planned visit to Ole Miss on Thursday, which Ole Miss has kind of been making some hay with Chris Beard as well.
Yeah, for sure. Mbako's one of those guys, former McDonald's All-American. Don't know that he ever really found the right rhythm under Mike Woodson there, and looking for a new opportunity. And as you would imagine, he's a coveted asset of a guy with positional size and length who can theoretically shoot and bring some stuff to the table. It'll be interesting how that plays out. NC State did get a lot of traction there. Chris Beard, though, he's one that you can't sleep on when it comes to recruiting battles.
We just won. I think AJ Storr came over from Kansas. I don't know where he was. I can't keep track of these guys that have played for four schools anymore.
St. John's, Wisconsin, Kansas, now Ole Miss.
Elijah Freeman, I mentioned him earlier. He was at Indiana a couple of weeks ago. And when you have a guy on campus and a couple of weeks have gone by, I don't know how good you start feeling about yourself. He visited Auburn this past weekend. He's got a visit to Tennessee coming up on Wednesday. That's a lot of time in between visits. And unless Darren DeVries gets on a plane again and finds wherever Elijah Freeman is and lands in his front yard.
Yeah, so, the recruitments these days, especially out of the transfer portal, are very different from what they were even 1 year, 2 years ago. Timing of the visit, typically you want to get the last visit. That's traditionally how it's kind of been. These days, it's all kind of part of the process as to when you position yourself. Obviously, you don't want to have the guy leave campus without committing. But, it's all part of the process, the longevity. I do know that Tennessee does have a little bit of confidence there. But when it comes to the overall process, again, as I say, when you have these agents involved and everything, there's negotiations that are happening and everything with that. The link behind a visit isn't necessarily as big of a tell this year, this cycle, as it has been traditionally in the past.
Yeah, and I look at Indiana, Brian pointing out Indiana's current full roster, which is Tucker DeVries, Trent Sisley, Reed Bailey, Connor Enright, Lamar Wilkerson, Jasai Miles, and Dayton Conterway, which that gives you seven guys. You're only going to go about nine deep. I won't count Trent Sisley on there just yet. He's an incoming freshman. That's too much pressure to put on a guy. All these other guys are freaking veterans. So definitely. And with the order of that you're kind of getting, you quickly start to look at, well, these are the guys that are probably going to be playing, and you're up. And I'd have to go back and look at Darren DeVries' past record on his rotations, how deep he actually goes. Most teams are not going deeper than nine guys, but it depends. If you're a team that gets up and down the floor nonstop, maybe you do go 10 deep. I don't know. But nine is probably 10 in the early part of the season, but as the season progresses, that starts to shrink. They're getting close. Just maybe two or three more players, and I would think Indiana would have its core set.
I 100% agree with you. It's kind of a little bit of what we were saying earlier. It's now we're kind of having an understanding as to what this team is going to look like. There's a baseline of talent, of guys, like you said, have experience, of guys who have started Division I games before, of guys who have put up stats at the Division I level already. With those six guys that they have that are coming in, you can get a feeling as to what the rotation is going to look like and how they're going to play, along with the versatility. You know, you have Reed Bailey who can make a play with the ball in his hands. You have Lamar Wilkerson who can shoot the ball. Connor Enright, who's been DeVries' point guard previously at Drake. You know, obviously DeVries' son shoot the ball. He's got a lot of experience. Josiah Miles can score. Tate and Conroy can really defend. So you're starting to get an understanding as to what this kind of team, the core, the very bare bones of this team is going to look like. And now it's all about adding a couple of pieces here and there, like you mentioned, to kind of patchwork the remaining pieces of the roster. But this is starting to make the looks of a pretty intriguing roster.
I cannot wait. Make sure you're keeping up with everything Jamie Shaw does, because if he's putting it out, it's important, first of all, and you're going to want to read it. That's at the On Three, and you can always find that at thehoosier.com with On Three. They've got the special going right now. It's just $1 for the first month, 50% for the rest of the year. On Three is the source for all breaking news now. They are the ones, whether it's Jamie Shaw, Joe Tipton, Pete Nackos, that's where it's coming from, baby. Great job, by the way, guys.
Jim, I really appreciate it. Again, I want to reiterate how excited we are to have y'all on board here. Indiana fan base is a rabid fan base, one of the best ones around, and cannot wait to see, especially under Cignetti, what it looks like during football season. I'm kind of going to be looking from afar as to how the fan base starts reacting during football season and what that looks like.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting because there's never been interest in spring football. I mean, it's like, I'm sorry, what? Oh, they are? Okay, I didn't know they were practicing. That's good. Nice. Good for them. But no, it's not the case anymore, and I agree with you. Looking forward to appreciate you very much, first of all, for taking the time to join us as always, and looking forward to doing it again, man. We appreciate you so much.
Jim, I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You betcha. Jamie Shaw from On Three joining us here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Man, that is a litany of information for you, peeps. Tomorrow, there's more coming. It doesn't stop. Todd Leary joins us, of course. Zach Osterman, the IU beat writer from the Indy Star, recently named the United States Basketball Writers Association Beat Writer of the Year. I got to write that back down. He wasn't able to be on with us last week. So I will write that down to congratulate him tomorrow, who will be with us. Also, Alec Lasley from thehoosier.com. And we will have a complete recap of tonight's spring game. Myself and Coach Shannon Griffin will have that for you. So plenty of stuff. Yes, John, the stuff. We've got it. Whether it's at Indiana Sports Beat Radio or thehoosier.com, your new source for breaking news, all information. Go to thehoosier.com and subscribe. They need you so they can continue to put out the content. They are doing an incredible job. It's the amount of stories coming out per day. It's crazy. And there is not a breaking story that On Three is not pumping out, baby. So be a part of it. Appreciate you. It's been a fun, fun day as always. Cannot thank our friends enough, Bob Kravitz, for joining us. Chris Denary, as the Pacers prepare for the playoffs on Saturday. If you're going to that, enjoy it as well. Probably going to rain, but just take an umbrella. Don, I appreciate you. Let's see. And yeah, we'll have Shannon on probably tomorrow with our recap of tonight's spring game, which takes place at 8:00. And we'll have a post-game show. If you want to catch that, you're certainly most welcome to do so. You can find that on Indiana Sports Beat YouTube channel. So go there and subscribe. Hit the notifications toggle so you don't miss a thing. Big, big thanks to each and every one of you from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Until tomorrow, I'm Jim Coyle. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
Hello, everybody. Jim Coyle with Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. Make sure you are a subscriber wherever you podcast or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. And for the most up-to-date news on Indiana basketball, football, and recruiting news, go to thehoosier.com now with On3. Just go to thehoosier.com and subscribe today. On3 has great national writers like Ari Wasserman, Andy Staples, and Steve Wiltfong covering football, Pete Nakos, Jamie Shaw, and Joe Tipton breaking basketball stories every day. In addition to that, our own local coverage with Alec Lasley, Kyler Staley, and Zach Browning covering everything Indiana just for you. Go to thehoosier.com. Subscribe today. Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day.